Greetings, my friends. Welcome to the next episode of the Mitten Mob Podcast. Jason here, joined by my buddy Alex across the pond in Germany. And apparently he has a lot of topics he wants to jump into today, and I don't know what any of them are. And I'm just coming out of a meditation, so we'll see how my mind responds. Alex, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, man. Yeah, everything is good. Looking at the charts, obviously, today is the first time for quite some time, actually, that I see a lot of red numbers, a pretty big correction. But yeah, before we jump into all the topics, obviously, we did not have an episode last week. Last week, we had to upload the episode from the week before. So that's why we obviously have to catch up with many things. And yeah, let's jump a little bit maybe into what's been the hottest topic. I know we do not always talk about politics in general, but as you know, especially US politics are pretty important for the crypto markets as well. Mm-hmm. Did you follow the Trump Putin meeting?
No, this is going to be great because then you just get to educate me on everything that happened. So I'm all ears, man. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, so like it wasn't even like the result because there was none. They said they had great negotiations and, you know, they didn't really hint it at what exactly they discussed. But the funny thing was that when Putin arrived in I think it was Anchorage in Alaska, he got like, you know, the red carpet. Trump was standing there applauding for him and stuff like that. And at least like German media was like, why is Putin treating him like a king? You know, why is he being treated so good? Mm-hmm. You know, considering what he's doing in his country. And I just wondered whether U.S. coverage was similar. But I see that you did not really follow that, right?
Well, I mean, I don't have to follow it to know that the media is going to trend left on everything. So, I mean, the answer to the question is really simple, though. I mean, if you're going into a negotiation with someone, you want them to feel special. You want them to feel like you're honoring and respecting them. I mean, the worst thing you can do going into a negotiation is treat somebody like shit. You know, so like if anyone's bitching and moaning about the red carpet being rolled out for Putin, it's not because, oh, you know, Trump agrees with everything Putin's doing. No, it's because he wants something from him and he's trying to butter him up. And this is how you do that, right? It's just so funny that the news media would pick up on something as simple as that and focus on that, knowing, well, you would think that they would know that if you want to get something from someone, you want to treat them well and, you know, create a positive situation. So, yeah, I mean, I don't even know what to say about that other than it's just the news media being the news media.
But don't you think it's funny that, you know, if you look at the meeting Trump had with Zelensky, you know, when he basically asked him whether he owns a suit and did not treat him that good. Do you think like he's actually favoring Putin?
I think Zelensky in the grand scheme of things is like a fly on the wall. He's pretty irrelevant, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I think that the meeting with Zelensky, when you contrast the two, Zelensky showed up looking like someone who wasn't taking it important, taking it as it was an important step in his diplomacy. You know, you show up at a formal meeting wearing a freaking sweatshirt or t-shirt or whatever he was wearing, a pair of jeans, like a baby, you know, like some teenage moron who doesn't know how etiquette works. And you're going to get on national television as the leader of a nation in front of, you know, the most powerful leader of any nation looking like that. I mean, what was he thinking? You know, I mean, I think this is what everybody, you know, on the Trump team was concerned about. You know, like, what is this guy thinking? Like, we can't take this guy seriously because he's not taking himself seriously. And then, of course, you know, when you realize he's a former comedian and an entertainer from Ukraine and has really no political ambitions up until recently and has blown a bunch of money on himself, apparently. I mean, this guy deserves no respect, like, based on what he's done. And, you know, I'm not saying Russia's any better for, you know, invading the Ukraine. But, you know, the truth is, like, this whole thing is has more to do with NATO than anything. Like, you know, like the Russian border and the Ukrainian border and that Eastern European border to Russia, like that whole thing, as far as Russia's concerned, is a strategic nightmare. Like, they can't have encroachments upon those pieces of land and consider it to be, you know, like a non-aggressive sort of act. So, you know, this piece of land that Russia is fighting over was basically a piece of land that they were told would be neutral, that there would be nothing built there that would be of threat to them. And that hasn't been the case historically. So on some level, they have, you know, like a good reason for what they're doing. But of course, you know, it's war and war is shit. And, you know, I'm certainly not advocating for it. And I'm certainly not hoping that people suffer, that it continues, but you can't do stupid things and expect not to get stupid outcomes. You know, I mean, it's just that simple. Like, you can't break your word repeatedly and then have the person on the other end think, oh my God, you know, I'll just sit here and be a doormat and let these people keep, you know, taking advantage of me. That's not the way it works. And it doesn't matter if it's Putin or your grandmother, you know, if you lie to them long enough, they're going to get pissed off.
Yeah, but if you look at the United States and if you look at Trump, you know, the man who always says America first and, you know, our economy is the greatest, blah, blah, blah. Don't you think it's like a lot more beneficial for him to have a good relationship with Russia compared to, you know, Ukraine, or obviously the European Union is going down economically as well. So don't you think that is like something he has in mind?
Of course, yeah. I mean, of course. I mean, Russia is a huge trading partner, or could potentially be a huge trading partner for a lot of natural resources, you know? And, I mean, again, like, when you look at Trump's track record, he's not the guy out there wanting to start wars. He's the guy out there that wants to prevent that, you know? He didn't attack Iran to start a war. He attacked Iran's missile systems to prevent future wars, right? He said this the whole time. He said this all along, right? He doesn't want to go to war. He doesn't want to have destruction. And this is coming from a place of business. Like, in the business world, in the entrepreneurial world, everybody knows that when there's peace, there's more prosperity, you know, because people are a little bit, you know, everyone's disposition is a much better spot, and negotiations are much easier, and people are taken more care of, right? They don't have to worry about a bomb flying through their front door. You know, like, peace and prosperity go hand in hand. War and destruction go hand in hand. And, I mean, if you want to see people prosper, you need a peaceful environment where people are talking, whether you agree with them or disagree with them, people are at least talking and exchanging words instead of bullets, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Couldn't agree more on this. But when you speak about, you know, Russian Ukraine, I read a tweet today that said, and, you know, to basically find our way back to crypto as well. It said next week the parabolic season is going to start. We will have rate cuts and we'll have the end of the war. Do you see that coming? Like, is it like all falling together so good?
Well, it's possible, right? Like, here's the thing that I think a lot of people are missing right now. We have traditionally in the markets, we have this sort of super cycle where every year in the summertime, everything just goes to shit. You know, every year. It's the whole sell in May, go away thing. And then in the fall, when everybody comes back from vacation, their summer vacation, it's like, oh, okay, well, I guess we can start buying stuff again. You know, that hasn't happened. That hasn't happened at all. We've had actually a pretty stable, you know, summer, a pretty positive summer so far. We're halfway through August, but summer's officially over, what, is September 20th or 21st, whatever day? You know, so basically we've got one more month of summer. So if we're going to have this massive summer pullback, it better happen fast, you know? So I think what a lot of people are not considering is the fact that it is a little bit different this time around. And we do have massive inflation in the system. We do have massive debts in the households of Americans, and I think most people the world over, based on what I've heard. But I know in America, it's pretty bad. And we've got, interest rates that are too high to allow houses to appreciate in value. Because remember, this is the whole game the Fed plays. They want you to buy a house, and then they guarantee 2 to 3, quote unquote, 2 or 3% inflation, which is, you know, obviously way low from what it actually is. But that causes your input prices of goods to go up, which causes your house that you purchased to go up, making you feel rich if you own a home. Now, this hasn't happened now for the last ever how many years because of all the inflation in the system, and then now the interest rates had to rise to soak up some of that liquidity. And people are still feeling it, right? It's still finding its way into the system, and it's going to. But we've reached a point in the debt cycle, like in the debt super cycle, where basically all developed countries are doing now is servicing the interest on the debt. No one's paying down their debts at all. So we're at a point right now where the currency could easily go one of two ways. Either, you know, country X says, we're just not going to pay our debts. We'll find a new trading partner, or we'll do something else. And we don't care. You guys can do whatever you want to do. Or they try to pay their debts with the production that they currently have, and then the currency crashes, right? So we're kind of on this teetering scale right now that the currency, like major currencies, can go one way or the other. And when I look across the world, like especially on the exosphere, and I see the absolute clown-like politicians, especially coming out of Europe, I don't know what the fuck is happening in Europe, but man, it is so fucking stupid. I literally saw someone, you know, like the UK police had posted a video where they have female cops posing as joggers, running down the street together, wearing their tight little outfits in the hopes that some poor guy is going to catcall them so that they can arrest and find this person, or find this person and arrest them. Like, seriously, like, I mean, at the end of the day, you're spending resources trying to stop catcalling on the street. I mean, give me a fucking break, man. And I mean, don't even get started on immigration and how fed up people are with that shit, and the taxation situation, and then the taxing of unrealized gains. I mean, Europe is going to see a mass exodus of all productive people if they continue to go down this path. So, you know, like, the U.S. right now is sort of standing as the last bastion of hope in terms of some semblance of sanity when it comes to like a business environment and a legal environment that makes sense. You know, the U.S. isn't, you know, arresting you for tweeting mean things, or arresting you for your saucy Facebook post, right? Like what's happening in the U.K. So like at the end of the day, like what these people are focused on are all the wrong things. And it just points to the fact that people don't know what to do. You know, on some level you want to think it's malevolence, but it's really just ignorance. Like there's so many problems that need to be solved that they're focusing on this nonsense that really makes no difference in anyone's life whatsoever, right? And that's the point where, you know, government is pretty much on shaky ground and it's about to, you know, come crumbling down. So, I mean, I think the best thing for everyone to do, especially, you know, if you're following these markets and these governments, is to, like, what you're doing right now and paying attention to what's happening politically. But, you know, you need to back that up with buying things that are going to make sense, because with AI coming on board and crypto payments basically evolving into the standard once that happens, especially with AI agents, you're going to want to own these things. And you're going to want to own things that are inflation resistant, you know, like real things in the real world. So it's a really strange situation. And I think a lot of it is that a lot of what we're seeing in the political sphere is window dressing to some degree. But then I think there's, you know, like I'm not a huge Trump fan. Like I've told you this 1,000 times, like my wife loves Trump. She's Canadian, right? She's like, she loves the guy. And every time he says something, you know, I have to sit here and listen. And I don't like the way he speaks, you know, but I know that he knows business. And so when he sits down at a table with someone, he's going to negotiate a deal that is win-win. That's the whole thing, right? And you can bitch and moan and say, oh, well, he filed a bankruptcy and this and that and the other thing. I don't know a single fucking entrepreneur in my entire life who is wealthy, who's not filed bankruptcy, who's not, you know, shut down a business, who hasn't tried 2 or 3 different things before they figured out the formula. You know, when people say things like that, it just proves you that they don't understand how the business world works, right? Like school teaches you that you're not supposed to fail. You know, you can't work with other people. Don't look at Alex's paper for the answer. You got to come up with the answer. In the real world, that's exactly the opposite of the way things work. You fail all the time and you work with other people, right? That's the way business works. You fail all the time and you work with other people. The two things that school teaches you not to do, right? So the average person who's never been in this environment doesn't understand how that works. And you have to advantage yourself with whatever legal system you're under to make sure that you can maximize the possibilities of what you can create, because you can always bet that government's going to get theirs. So, you know, if Trump sits down with Putin and he rolls out the red carpet, what he's doing is he's setting up a situation that's positive for Putin to sit down at a table and feel respected, so that when you go into that meeting, you can have a hard conversation and there's mutual respect, whether you like each other or not. And this is the thing that the left gets wrong. It's not about liking someone. You don't have to like someone to respect them. You just have to respect them. And you can get what you can get from them based on respect.
Yeah, many things I want to touch on.
Yeah, that was quite the monologue, man. That's not bad for a guy coming out of a meditation, huh?
Absolutely. First of all, obviously, like I'm not even sure if to the audience who witnessed Putin and Trump, it looked like, you know, Trump was satisfied at the end of the meeting. It rather looked like, you know, Putin was very happy all the time. We'll probably find out today, because right now Zelensky is at the White House along with, you know, many other European leaders, I think you mentioned some of them already when you said Europe is going down. Mm-hmm. By the way, like I've been waiting for you to offer me an apartment. Like, I know you got some rental apartments. Like, dude, let me move there.
Dude, you're more than welcome to come here. Yet. I want all good people to come to the U.S. All good people in the world, come here now. You know, just do it the right way. Get a sponsorship. You know, I'm happy to sponsor you, Alex. Come on, let's go.
Until Democrats take the lead again. Like I said, currently the leaders are meeting in the White House, and I think we'll get some information about what's been negotiated at the Trump and Putin meeting. And then we are supposed to have, like, at least they say that, they claim that, a meeting between Trump, Zelensky, and Putin. Mm-hmm. And they might finally find a way to, you know, to peace. I kind of doubt it still, because I feel like Putin is actually like having the upper hand, and Zelensky is not like considering to. I mean, it's pretty hard to say, because, you know, obviously Zelensky is supposed to give away parts of his country. So that doesn't feel right as well. But I feel like the current situation is not the solution. Like, it cannot persist the way it is right now, because obviously people die every day. So, yeah, I think that's the point why it's so hard to, you know, to find a solution for that whole conflict. But I feel like in the end it needs to look like Russia wants something, because they obviously won't end their special operation without being able to you know, tell people they've been victorious or whatever. So let's see. I'm definitely having an eye on the White House tonight, and see how it turns out.
Yep.
Regarding did you want to touch on anything of that?
I was just gonna say, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was reading an article and listening to you, or kind of like reading the headlines from an article, but the thing that jumped out is the picture at the top of the article. It looks like Zelensky put on a suit.
Oh, really?
He's dressed in all black, with a coat and a shirt, black shirt, black coat. So I don't know, apparently he took the last browbeating to heart and showed up with some actual clothes on this time. But yeah, according to this, Trump is telling Zelensky that Putin wants a ceasefire, but I can't really see. It just says, we will have a trilateral if today goes well, Trump said, adding that he believes Russian President Vladimir Putin wants the war to end. So I'm assuming that he probably made some concessions, made some sort of progress with Putin on this thing, and he's acting as an intermediary, which is kind of interesting because, you know, most political people would be so ego driven. They'd be like, oh, I told him how to do this and I told him to do that and da 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 da. It's all ego based. But Trump is really acting as a mediator. He can't control this unless he gets involved, and he doesn't want to get involved. So he's literally reduced himself to playing mediator here between these two people. So that's interesting to me because that points to the fact that he wants the outcome more than he wants his ego, which is, you know, that's a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. It is. And yeah, I've been following what's happening right now as well. But I think European leaders will join the meeting in like 1 hour. So let's see what happens. Regarding crypto, you said that obviously summer is never a good time for crypto. I think August and September always suck. And, you know, especially September. And we are going into September in like 2 weeks. But August has been pretty good, right? Like you said, like we did not really see that dump this year. Do you see that as a sign of like a strong market and that, you know, that the final 3 months of the year will, you know, go crazy? Or do you feel like it's going to be, you know, a sideways movement with a slight way up?
I mean, again, this is hard to tell. I don't really know what's going to happen. You know, I don't want to be the person who says, you know, for sure anything is going to happen. I just know that where the demand is, you know, product and money both flow. And so right now we've got a lot of warnings in the atmosphere around AI. AI is coming. AI is coming for your job. AI is going to replace this. AI is going to replace that. Okay. There's some truth to that. You know, I think a lot of, you know, paper pusher type jobs are going to go away because, I mean, honestly, if Grok can read every law book in the next 5 minutes and give me an answer, why would I pay a lawyer $300 an hour to do the same thing? I wouldn't, right? So like a lot of paper pusher type jobs are going to go away. But the way that the AIs will interact with one another and with services online will be digital. And that's going to demand some form of payment that's digital, which basically brings us back to blockchain. And the other thing too is when you have a world of infinite abundance, in other words, where, you know, maybe you spend $20,000 and you get an Optimus robot and that Optimus robot cleans your house, or maybe you're, maybe you're a gold miner and you buy, you know, an Optimus gold miner robot and it, you know, goes, digs a hole for you, right? And it just works all the time. It doesn't complain. It doesn't moan. It doesn't have a union. You know, it doesn't get tired. It just does whatever it's supposed to do, right? When you start thinking about infinite abundance and you have robots who can create for you on your behalf, now all of a sudden, the problem of free time gets even bigger because now if your needs are met, you sit around all day, do nothing, which is, you know, what most people do who aren't productive already, at least here in the US, and they live better than, you know, 90% of the world. So when you have this, you start to get into this area of crisis of meaning. Like, what does it mean for me to exist? So we're going to have lots of conversations around, you know, why am I here? What does it mean to exist? You know, what should I create? What should I do with my time? And if the tech giants have their way and they pass something like UBI, universal basic income, where, you know, people have some sort of subsistence living that they can just sort of wallow in while AI does all the work and provides for them, then that's what you'll see. You'll see people living nihilistic lives, just like right now. Like if you go to, you know, any project here in the US, like any housing project where people are downtrodden and, you know, they're given just enough money to stay stuck where they are. You know, if that's what UBI becomes, that creates a massive, massive problem. And so, you know, you don't have a lot of time to really figure out what you want to do financially or where you want to be financially if AI is really going to be stepping up to the plate in the next 5 to 6 years, which is kind of what the prognostication is. So in a world of infinite abundance right now, we've gotten a taste of it, right, where we already live pretty well where, you know, we have sort of lines of production. You know, like I don't produce my own food, I go buy it. I don't produce my own cars, I go buy them. You know, I don't produce my own house, I buy it. You know, so we have some taste of abundance. The difference is right now we work and we trade dollars for someone else's abundance, for someone else's work, basically. What if we don't have to trade our own dollars for that? What happens then? In a world of infinite abundance, what is the role of a human? You know, that's the real question people are going to be struggling with. So what does that mean? You know, what does wealth mean? What does wealth look like? Like, all of these questions, I think, are going to be unknowns. And what Bitcoin does between now and then, I think, is going to greatly depend on how much of this stuff comes online and how many people see it as sort of like the last bastion resource before we go into infinite abundance. Because in a world of infinite abundance, if Bitcoin is the only thing that's scarce, because you can send robots to asteroids and have them mine asteroids, then what does the price of Bitcoin look like? You know, I mean, does it keep climbing? What does it do? Like, does it just go up forever, as Michael Saylor says? I don't know, man. I don't know. But I know that this fall is going to be a lot like last fall, where, you know, companies and organizations are going to continue to adopt. AI agents who want to use the chain are going to continue to adopt. Blockchain is going to continue to be necessary because, again, in a world of infinite abundance, how do you assign scarcity? Well, you do it digitally using the blockchain. That's the only way to do it, right? And as these things become more and more dematerialized, you have to look, okay, where do I want to be as, you know, everything digital becomes more and more and more abundant, and I have more and more and more free time? How do I determine my digital ownership from Alex's? How do I determine my ownership of something real from Alex's or whoever's? It's all going to come down to blockchain. So AI agents are going to use blockchain. They're going to use blockchain currencies to transact, and they're going to use those to assign ownership. And we're going to have to do that as well, because the rest of the world, in terms of the transaction volume, will be happening that way. And if you've got you know, global leaders like the US or Europe, you know, major players in London or Hong Kong or Singapore, and you've got all these countries, major players in the financial world, adopting these technologies, then guess what? You're going to have to play that game, because they are going to embrace those technologies. They are going to transact online. They are going to use AI agents. AI agents are going to want cryptocurrencies. Cryptocurrencies are going to determine scarcity, and the chains are going to determine scarcity. This is the only way, the only solution to the problem that we have so far. So no matter what happens over the next 4 weeks, at the end of the day, you want to be in front of what's coming. And so my hope, and again, my hope is that we have a massive, gigantic, enormous crash all the way across everything crypto for like 5 minutes, so I could just buy as much as possible, and then I'm just going to watch it springboard back up. So that's the punchline to that joke.
All right, man, that's all I needed to hear, man. My short position is open. I totally agree. And when I hear about, you know, all that future stuff, especially, you know, with AI and the blockchain, I kind of wonder whether, you know, crypto is going to one day in the future, maybe do you feel like the banking system is going to stay the way it is right now, you know, considering what crypto is currently doing? Because obviously, you know, having crypto, they have to, they lose some, you know, some part of their power. So, like, don't you feel like, because obviously now banks are embracing crypto, but it feels like, you know, they might, you know, that might, at least to some degree, damage them as well. So, where do you see this going? Like, do you see crypto can replace the whole banking system?
Yeah, it can. It absolutely can. I mean, if the banking system chooses not to evolve, right? I mean, I think the smart bankers are going to evolve, and the average person is going to want someone else to custody their wealth. That's been that's been true since the beginning of time, or at least since the beginning of wealth in the beginning of time. You know, so that there's going to be a role for third party custodian, and that's all a bank is really. You know, they just hold your funds. Well, actually, they make money on your funds and charge you for the privilege. But yeah, I mean, if they choose to evolve, they can absolutely have a place. There's no reason for them not to. Absolutely. It's just a matter of not or of will they or won't they, because they've had it so good for so long, they're kind of entrenched into the way things used to be and have been, and that doesn't serve anyone. I mean, if you're, you know, it's like I keep telling everybody, it's like, hey, if you got, I'll use the example. One time I had moved a bunch of money into my savings account. I think I moved like 50 grand into my savings account, right? And I was like, all right, all right, guys. This is what the bank paid me on like 50 grand this month, just sitting in my savings account. And it was like $1.03 or something like that. It was some ridiculously horrible, you know, number. And I'm like, okay, this is what I got paid on $100 worth of Solana staked this month. And it was like three times as much, you know. So it's like, what do you want to do with your money, right? Do you want it to multiply or do you want it to go away? Well, if you're sitting on dollars, you're losing. Coinbase right now will pay you 4.5% to just hold USD, USDC on their platform. So you could literally convert all of your US dollars to USDC and make 4.5% interest, which is like a 1,000,000% more than the bank is going to pay you, right? So it doesn't even make sense for banks to exist the way that they've been existing. And if you've got, you know, like I said, a couple $100 worth of crypto that's staked at 8 or 10 or 12% interest, whatever it is, you're always going to do better than the bank would do for you. So what is the bank doing? It's just making sure no one steals your shit. That's really all they're doing. And the whole time that your money sits there, they loan it out to other people and make money on your money while they pay you nothing. And that's unfair, and that's terrible, and that's why people hate the banks.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. I think that's pretty, yeah, like a pretty similar simulation situation in all industrial countries. But if you take a look at the ETFs, I was actually kind of surprised. I think on Spaces last time you mentioned that Ethereum did pretty good. I'm not sure if it actually broke its all-time high or if it was just close to it. But like the ETF is let me just check again.
Ethereum, excuse me, Ethereum did break its all-time high.
Spread false information. Yeah, the Ethereum ETF is outperforming Bitcoin's ETF right now on August. Did it? Yeah, are you sure?
Yeah, Ethereum broke its all-time high on two or 3 days ago.
Breaking news or something. Okay.
Well, it broke by like $20.
Inflows.
Yeah, I mean, so like the all-time high was like 4.4721, I think 4 years ago. And it went up to like, I don't know, 4790. I forget what exactly it was. It was like 4700, 4800, somewhere around in there. So it just barely broke it. So it wasn't like it smashed its all-time high. And then, of course, now today it's back below its all-time high. So it wasn't able to hold on to it. But I think as it got close, it was just psychological. So everyone was buying their ETH, you know, to kind of like push it over the edge. But yeah, ETH has been tough. I mean, they really shot themselves in the foot with the whole proof of stake thing. They haven't done anything since the switch other than pretty much move sideways. Obviously, that you had a huge buying opportunity with the whole Sam Bankman-Fried thing. So if you bought ETH at $800, you're doing really, really good right now.
Absolutely. One thing I just wanted to mention is that the inflows into the ETH ETF are like enormous. Like I think on August 11, we had $1 billion of inflow. August 12, we had 500 million. 700 million on August 13, then 600 million. It's like way, way more than the money that like flowed into the Bitcoin ETF at this, like on these days. And this is probably what pushed Ethereum to its all-time high. One thing that's interesting is that Solana is like, there is a Solana ETF. I think we all knew that, but it's like barely getting any funds into it. That's actually interesting. Like just a couple millions every day. But obviously we do not have too many providers for this. So it's a lot more difficult to invest into the Solana ETF. But yeah, ETH broke its all-time high. It got rejected. And now we are currently in a little correction, I think I saw people saying that Bitcoin might go down below 100K again, and you know, then will, you know, run up to new all-time highs. But this would actually be the scenario that we all want, right? Like to get the another chance to buy some more. Ethereum, do you think, like, you don't hold Ethereum, right?
No, I do. I have quite a bit of Ethereum, actually.
Yeah, because I do as well, and I was wondering if it was a good time to take some profits and wait until, you know, get a better entry. Because I did, actually, but at, like, shortly before the all-time high, I realized some profits and are now waiting for a better entry.
You know, I don't know, honestly. I'm not selling mine right now, but, I mean, I don't really sell much, so I don't really... I'm not really looking at it that way, again, because I think the cycle's broken. But, you know, that could just mm-hmm. be me. I feel like if you have profits, you know, you can't go broke taking profits, you know, so you should probably do that. Hey, man, can you hold on for a quick second? I got somebody banging on the door.
Yeah, man.
All right. Give me just a couple minutes, see what this is. I'll be right back. So probably like the last 5 minutes. Okay, so sorry about that. So you were talking about Ethereum and you were talking about its all-time high. So refresh my memory. I know I had to step away for just a second.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually spoke about the ETF and that a lot more money flowed into the Ethereum ETF compared to Bitcoin and compared to Solana. Solana actually barely gets funds when it comes to the Solana ETF. But this is probably one of the reasons why you know, Ethereum broke its all-time high. We spoke about you know, realizing profits. I said that, you know, shortly before it reached its all-time high, I took some profits. Now I'm waiting for a better entry. I bought it. I haven't really had a very good entry back then. I think I bought for like 2,100. But, you know, more than 2x is probably pretty solid. But obviously now I'm not sure, like, if I should wait for it to drop below 4,000 or not. But nobody got that crystal ball, right?
That's right, man. You never know. I mean, you're not going to go broke taking profits, right? And, I mean, the thing is too, like, I mean, you invested in this stuff to, you know, to multiply your assets. So right now, everything that you're holding is just potential. You know, a lot of times it's easy to forget this, right? You know, you don't have anything until you sell. You got nothing. It's just numbers on a page, right? So, I mean, you're not going to go broke taking profits. So if you feel like you need to take profits, whether you feel like it's, you know, you're going to get 100% of the gains or not, doesn't really matter because you're never going to time it exactly right. So you just got to do what you think is right.
Absolutely. And it's funny, actually, because I think I bought that towards the end of 23, if I'm correct. Yeah, 23. And, you know, saw it all go all the way up and go all the way down again. And I think, like, it even reached like 1500 or so, like not too long ago, right? Like it was, when was it? Like in April, actually, this year. So I went from profits to making losses and then to profits again. And yeah, it's crazy to, you know, to see how volatile, you know, the whole market is. And as you said, it's obviously it makes sense. This is probably one of the things I learned through the last couple of years, that, you know, taking profits at some point definitely makes sense, especially for altcoins. You know, it can go so fast, and, you know, suddenly we see ETH trading at like 3,000 again.
Yeah, true. And I'm getting conflicting information. I've gotten two different sources of all-time highs. Now it's showing on CoinMarketCap that there is no all-time high, that it was 4891. I don't think that's right. I could be wrong, but Coinbase was showing one thing and CoinMarketCap was showing something else. Well, regardless, it's close to an all-time high. Whether it breached it or not is, I guess, still up for debate. We'll have to get one of the ETH experts to tell us for sure.
Absolutely. Like, because, like, I was surprised, because usually when, you know, some Bitcoin like ETH reaches its all-time high, it's all over the timeline on X. Everyone is like, oh, it broke its all-time high, and now altcoin season, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't see that, so I was kind of surprised when you mentioned it on Friday. But obviously there are different charts, and some charts might have shown an all-time high. But that doesn't matter, obviously. Let's talk a little bit about NFTs as well. We had a pretty cool drop a couple days ago. the Siren Syndicate came to Solana, and we had a pretty cool batch plus another surprise batch, you know, with the new art style from Daria. And the feedback was great. I loved it. I didn't get the piece I wanted, but regardless, the mint went pretty smooth, especially considering the issues we had before, or you had before, actually. So, Siren Syndicate is done. We'll obviously continue to expand that collection. What's like the time frame? Because currently we have three different collections on Magic Eden, and I guess you still have to figure out how to put these collections together. Is that a priority now, or do you feel like, you know, this is like not too important now?
Yeah, for sure. You're kind of going into that machine voice where it's like the different words. So I'll just gonna reiterate what Alex was saying was we brought the Sirens to Solana. We had a really, really cool drop, really, really exciting drop. We had Dario on the call. We were minting together as a group in spaces, a lot of fun. We had a little bonus for the bosses, of course. And yes, we had, you know, kind of an important thing happen, that being that the technology that we normally use to mint just decided to close up shop. And I wasn't aware of this until the night before I was going to set up the mint. And it's like, oh, by the way, we're closing up shop by 5 a.m. on the day that you're going to mint. And we're minting like five hours after they planned to close up shop. So I'm sitting here going like, okay, you guys couldn't wait one more day, right? But apparently they couldn't, and so we had to do something at the last minute and mint in a different place, and I wasn't able to mint into the collections like I normally would. And although I think that there is a way to do that using the Launch My NFT site, I didn't find the option. It was hidden kind of in the bottom corner of a page, at least I think it is. So it shouldn't be a problem going forward. But we did two batches, and so, of course, we had the original collection plus the two batches, and each batch minted into its own collection. So Alex is asking about the timeline on combining those, and right now I'm just talking to the developers at Metaplex to help me get that going, because the code that they have posted doesn't seem to work, and it should be a very simple function. So I'm just waiting to hear back from the developer to help me get through that. And in the meantime, I'll keep trying. Me and Grok will keep working on it. But even Grok is stumped, so I'm going to have to just wait for the developer, most likely.
Yeah, absolutely. So to conclude, we had a great drop, and I loved it. And but I'm also looking forward to everything that lies ahead. And next up is actually an artist incubator piece from Anna. I welcomed her officially to the Artist Incubator family today. And she has a pretty unique art style. Again, another artist with a very unique art style. And when you guys want to listen to Chaz speaking about her on Spaces, you can listen to the recording on the last Spaces. He's a big fan of her. And let's drop some alpha. Let's see, like what's like the title of the piece. Where did I write it down? So the title of the piece is The Pattern Mind, and that actually described it pretty good. When you guys see it, you'll get it. She wrote a beautiful little description. She actually has a homepage, check that out. You should find it in her biography on X, where she speaks a lot about herself, and you can see a lot of her pieces. And as I said, it's very special. Jason, I think you did like one of your favorite pieces on X on the post I just saw. Is that correct?
Yeah, she's definitely one of my favorite artists. She does some really, really cool work. I'm a huge fan of red work, like anything with red contrasting with black. These are some of the colors that really speak to me. And she does a great job of incorporating those colors in what she does. She has a lot of neutrals with brights. Incorporating lots of reds in different forms, and she does a lot of different characters that are sort of abstract, and it's really, really beautiful. She's super creative in what she creates and what she puts out, and I'm loving her stuff. You went into machine voice when you said the title of the piece. You want to try it one more time?
Maybe that's my actual voice. So the title is The Pattern Mind.
You did it again. Did you say the patterned mind?
Pattern, yeah.
Pattern?
Pattern. You know what a pattern is?
Pattern, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
The like pattern mind.
Translation is great, right?
Dude, man, are you? You need to move to like Zimbabwe or someplace that has like dial-up that's better than what's happening in Germany, man. Like, what's going on over there? Like,
no joke. I was actually thinking about getting Starlink, to be honest.
Well, I think you need to stop thinking about it and get on that for sure. You just cashed in your ETH chips, man. You should be able to afford a Starlink now.
Yeah, it's actually pretty expensive, to be honest. But yeah, that was our sign. So I think we got everything covered for today. Looking forward to Anna Shi's drop. Take a look at X on our timeline. I'll drop a hint here and there, maybe drop some sneak peeks. And the piece, the mint is actually set for May. Oh, wait, what did we say?
May?
May
29th. Well, like next year?
Oh, no. August.
I mean, man, this is going to be one long marketing lead up to this, right? May, wow. We got like 10 months to promo, brother.
Dude, like get into the time machine. Shouldn't be a problem. So it's August 29. Yeah, we decided August 29. So we will be live on Spaces during the mint again. Anna will join us, of course. And yeah, looking forward to that. And hope you guys have a great week. Anything? Any final words from your side?
No, man. Other than just get some new internet, brother.
All right, man.
Get some new internet, bro. Nah, it's always good to catch up for sure. Markets, you know, I think the market's going to do what the markets are going to do. So, you know, I don't think this run is over. I'm not selling anything just yet. But, you know, Alex could be right. Yeah, you know, you definitely have to keep an eyeball on those altcoins. They move fast. And you're not, like I said, you're not going to go broke taking profits. Have a great week, guys. Enjoy the pieces that went out. They're absolutely stunning. Daria did a fantastic job with them. We'll get the collections combined as soon as humanly possible. And what else? Just formally, I'll just let everyone know, I've said this in Discord 2 or 3 times now. Metaplex Core is the standard platform going forward for Solana NFTs. It is still not fully supported, and it has caused a big problem in the developer community. Everybody who develops is kind of pissed off about platforms not updating. But it is what it is. There's no point in using old tech that's going to go away. So everything going forward is going to be in Core. Backpack works just fine. Most of the major marketplaces like Tensor, Magic Eden work just fine. It just might be that not showing up in Phantom or whatever. But again, if you pop into your marketplace and pull up your wallet ID, everything will be there. And as long as it's showing you as the owner, it will eventually pop into your wallet. So don't worry too much about that. It'll sort itself out. And yeah, we'll keep going forward. We're going to keep pushing the envelope on what we can create. And we're excited to do more, obviously, with Daria. We've got some more stuff on the go with the mail form. We've got the 21s drop coming up. The AI drop coming up. And then, of course, a bunch of ideas for the 21s. And man, just a never-ending list of things to accomplish. So let's get after it. Have a good week.
Yep. Bye, every. Oh, I just need to give a special shout out as my final last sentence here to Scott. Actually, I don't know if you remember when I complained about nobody visiting Germany, and he is currently heading to Germany. Man, he's visiting my country, Metalhead.
Nice.
And yeah, he reached out, and yeah, looking forward to hear his feedback.
Yeah, shout for sure. Scott. That's awesome, man. Are you inviting everybody to your wedding or what?
Yeah, I'd love him to join, but the problem is he said he's in Berlin and he's in Munich and you know, southern part like the Alp area. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, he's like pretty far away. Obviously, I'm or not obviously, most people don't know, but I'm from the western part of Germany. So yeah, I need you guys to visit western Germany.
Yeah, Cologne area, right? So like, what is Cologne known for?
It got like a big cathedral and that's basically it. We got pretty decent beer, if anybody likes beer.
I think most people like beer. So Cologne is known for like architecture, or this one specific place.
Yeah, you probably just this one, but it's actually pretty cool. Like, it's better than let's see, what do we have like in Paris, Notre Dame, like for example, like the cathedral in Cologne is definitely better. Not even my hometown. I'm just living like close to Cologne.
Right. Yeah, of course. Cool. Yeah, I'm excited to see more of Europe. Definitely on the next trip. I'll be looking you up. Hopefully you invite all the fellas to your wedding and we have a bunch of people show up and, you know, have a little fun.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Whoever wants to come, it's in May next year, show up and let's have a good time. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.
Take care, guys.